Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 through 8 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Timothy 3, verses 1 through 8. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and ever able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And let's pray. Father, you sure have been good to us. Lord, so many times here on this property you've met with us. I almost feel selfish asking you to do it again. But we're in such need of your help that we'll ask you to do it again. Father, please, fill our preach with your power. May you use him tonight to clean us up and help us to reach more for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Tonight's sermon, as I announced to you this morning, is called Prophecies That Are Practical. I'm not going to read to you again from 2 Timothy chapter 3, though we read together a moment ago, verses 1 through 8. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1, a portion of that verse, it says in the last days perilous times shall come. Begins to list a bunch of things that will be happening in the last days that goes along with this phrase, perilous times shall come. Now, let me tell you something. We're in those days. The very last thing on God's prophetic calendar is now the second coming or the rapture of God's people, and that's coming. Now, people enjoy the topic of prophecy, and we should study prophecy. We're supposed to study prophecy, and I've already promised you there'll come a day when we will do a Wednesday night series on the subject of prophecy. Most people would like to hear the teachings of the end time prophecies, things like the teaching of the great whore church in Revelation chapter 17. By the way, that is the terminology that the Word of God uses about that church. The Antichrist and the false prophets from Revelation chapter 13. The revival of the old Roman Empire of Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7, Revelation chapter 13, Revelation chapter 17. The abomination of desolation found in Revelation chapter 11, verse number 2. We like to learn those things, and nothing wrong with that. Gog and Magog taught in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. The pouring out of the seven vials of judgment that are found in Revelation chapter 16 when God begins to judge this earth for its rejection of Jesus Christ and the truth of the Word of God. The mark of the beast, 666, found in Revelation chapter 13. The battle of Armageddon, found in Revelation chapter 16. Oh, there's prophecy in the Old Testament book of Daniel and Isaiah and Ezekiel, and throughout the New Testament there are different prophecies. But I want to be a little more practical than that, if I could. I want you to see how prophecy is being fulfilled in your time. You see, you and I are extremely interested in the prophecy of the future and that has not come to pass yet. But wait a minute. There are people that read prophecy years and years ago, and they were looking forward to the future. And some of us now, today, are living in the era of prophecy being fulfilled. And those in history, they were looking to that prophecy being future. You're living in prophetic days. Oh, we're living in days that the Bible talks about. Let's see if we can discover some of those this evening. First of all, the prophecy that demons would be promoted. The prophecy that demons will be promoted. Let me show you something. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. You don't have to turn to it, but let me read. The Bible says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Now that, it says, in latter times. When this was penned, there was a prophecy that there would come a day that demons would be promoted. It talks about the doctrines of devils and seducing spirits, teachings about devils, the promotion of demons, devilish entertainment. Our society today is fulfilling this prophecy. Hey, and so you know, you go back 100 years in American history, demons were not popular back then. Even in the day that you and I live, demons and demonology and witchcraft in Hollywood and the rock and roll culture and the witchcraft that goes along with it, it has become popular. You see, we take an interest in the prophecy of the future, the mark of the beast and the Antichrist and all. But let me tell you something. You're living in prophetic days right now. We are seeing in our country and across the world the fulfillment of prophecy from the Bible, and we're a part of it. Halloween's not the only time of the year demons are promoted. They're promoted 52 weeks out of the year now in America. Hey, demonology is bad. It's wicked. It's not a game. Witches are bad, and ghosts are bad, and sorcerers are bad, and devils are bad, and imps are bad, and vampires are bad, and werewolves are bad, and goblins are bad. I just want you to know, we are living in prophetic days. We are living in prophetic days. Demons being promoted. It's a part of prophecy that you and I get to watch happen. Wouldn't it have been something? Wouldn't it have been something to have lived in the days prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the prediction of the coming Messiah, to know that you could read in the Old Testament book of Isaiah that one day Jesus was going to come? Wouldn't it have been something to have read in the book of Psalms and to have been living just prior to the coming of Jesus Christ and then to hear, have you heard? The King of Kings is here. He's been born. Oh, I imagine there were people that saying, oh, the prophecy's come true. The Messiah is come. Oh, they were excited when they found out that Jesus Christ had come. They were excited when it was voiced and noised abroad that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords had arrived. They had prophecy fulfilled right before their eyes when they seen Jesus Christ crucified on the cross. They seen it happen. You're seeing prophecy too. You're seeing it fulfilled in your day and age. How? Oh, in all the promotion of the demons and the witches in our day. Secondly, let me give you another prophecy that we see being fulfilled. I won't have you turn to it, but in Revelation chapter 9, verse number 21, the Bible says, "Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor their thefts." Let me tell you what this is. These are people that are alive during the tribulation period that would not repent of their... The Bible uses the term sorceries here. That means at the time just prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ, and as we go into the seven-year tribulation period, that this thing called sorceries is going to be very, very prevalent. Now, let me tell you something, folks. This thing called sorceries is very prevalent today. Very prevalent today. The word sorceries comes from a Greek word, pharmakia. It is where we get our word pharmacy. It is the altering of the mind by drugs. It is where we get that word pharmacy. It virtually means enchantment by drugs. And let me explain. We're not talking about just a bunch of people that go to a witch's meeting and do drugs. We're talking about the general society getting themselves drugged up and they're not thinking right anymore. Now, misuse of drugs is everywhere in our society. Did you know it's drug abuse for you to misuse your prescription drugs? Did you know that? Hey, you know, you here we are, maybe set on our ivory thrones and our ivory palaces, and you look at some long-haired beatnik hippie that's doing drugs out on the street, and you say, that ought not be so. And then you're popping pills in your house, and you're not doing what you're supposed to according to your prescription. You're as much abusing drugs as somebody that bought it illegal off the street. We take too much, or take too often, or take when not needed. There are people taking, you know, you got a pain pill to help you because you broke your leg and you're still taking them, but your leg healed and the pain's gone in your leg a long time ago. Our society thinks the answer to everything is take a pill. 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 Medicine can do us good if it's used properly. But it is far overused today and misappropriately used today. Street drugs are wicked. Marijuana, sinful. Cocaine is wicked. Heroin is of the devil. I was speaking to someone just this week. I knew I was going to be preaching this sermon, and I just happened to get around somebody that knows something about the streets and somebody that knows something about the drugs. And I said, you know, let me ask you a question. What's the hot item on the street today? And I wanted to know. I'm not out there among all the druggies and everything. I said, what's a hot item? And this is what the person said. You're not going to believe it. Basically, it's just young people using their parents' prescription drugs. And you got young people getting hooked everywhere on all the drugs that the parents bring into their home and don't monitor. That's sad, isn't it? That's sad. But the Bible said in the time of the tribulation period, which means just prior to it, there are people that are all caught up in these things called sorceries. What the devil would like to do, folks, is he would like to alter our thinking so we're zombies and we can't think right. We can't think for ourselves. So we need to be careful that we're cautious with the drugs that we take. And so we are living in the fulfillment of prophecy as I speak. The prophecy of demons being promoted, the prophecy of the sorceries. We are living in a day of the fulfillment of prophecy. Why? Because of the rejection of true Bible preaching and teaching. Let me read to you again some scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." See, the Bible says the time will come. What's that mean? That was a prophecy. And the day that this was penned by Paul, the Bible teaches that there's coming a day. There's coming a day. That's what it means. The time will come. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, it says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Here, there it is. It says, there shall come in the last days. What is that? That's a precursor. That's saying this is going to happen. It was a prophecy. God was saying in the last days there will be people that will scoff at the preaching of the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16 says, "As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction." The Bible says there are people that will ignore the preaching and ignore the scripture unto their own destruction. And my goodness, if America is not in that shape today. I'm telling you, a preacher can get up and preach his guts out about the truth in a church service. Visitors come in and walk out, not changed, not bothered, not bothered at all by it. Have no concern about God and the presence of God. Have very little concern. But this is prophecy. Prophecy that there will be rejection of Bible preaching and Bible teaching. That prophecy is being fulfilled in our day. People do not endure sound doctrine. Their ears itch for something new, but they're not interested in the old black book. Now, folks, I have to tell you something. I think the greatest challenge of my job as pastor is I've got to just keep on preaching the same things that are in this book. I'm sorry. I can't go dream up something new. And you say, well, I'm just bored with it. Well, then what you're bored with is what God told us was important. And I have to apologize, but if you think you're going to get anything new, I don't have anything new. I may tell you a new story to go along with it, and I may be able to tell you a new joke to go along with it, but I've got to preach the same old truths and the same old doctrine that you've heard forever. I don't have any choice. And we are living in the day, though, where people say, we don't want to hear that old stuff. Give us something new. And they're coming up with all sorts of new this and new that. And I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, that new truth must come from old truth for it to be real truth, or it's not truth. We've just got to stick with the old time ways. But people scoff and they mock at pure preaching. You preach on holy living, they turn up their nose. You preach on separation from the world, they turn up their nose. You preach on tithing, they're not for it. All decisions are to be made through Bible guidance, and people don't like that. Love your enemies, and they think, oh my, faithfulness to God's house, and they think that's ridiculous, but that's what the Bible says. We are living in a day where people cannot endure preaching on the Word of God. We're living in a day when people are, they're looking for entertainment, not truth. Entertainment, not truth. You know, and that's what I like about, you know, Sunday night, Wednesday night around our church, and especially Wednesday night. Wednesday night, we have a Bible study. We're coming here to learn something from the Word of God. We're not giving out hot dogs or bubble gum. And we're not giving out a balloon. We're just coming to learn the Word of God. And thank God 500 people show up every Wednesday night. And that's how it ought to be. That's how it ought to be. But we're living in that day. Christians don't believe that Jesus may come at any moment. You see, this passage here in 2 Peter 3, 4, talking about these people that are not enduring sound doctrine, the Bible says here in 2 Peter 3, 4, they say, where is the promise of His coming? They're saying, well, He said He was coming, but He's not. We don't believe it. Listen, wouldn't it be sad? Wouldn't it be sad if Jesus came this evening and all sorts of people weren't in church, they were home watching TV? And do you know why they're home watching TV? Because they don't believe what the Bible says. They don't believe what the Bible says. Hey, are you doing something in your life right now that He wouldn't approve of? And if He came, would He catch you in it? Is God going to find you? Is Jesus going to come back some Saturday night and find you at a casino or at a bar getting drunk? Huh? Fornicating with your girlfriend, teenager, or adult? Stealing? What will it be? Will Jesus come back and catch you at it? Actually, a part of it is, it says here in 2 Peter chapter 3, God predicts there are going to be some things that are going to happen in the end time. And part of the people rejecting sound doctrine and sound preaching is they will reject the thought that Jesus Christ could come any moment. They are so lax in their belief that Jesus could come any moment, they'll live their life in such a way where they're not worried about Jesus coming again. It's a part of the prophecy about the attitude of Christians and the lost in these latter times. Let me go on. The Bible teaches and prophesies that before the coming of Christ, that there will be people with damaged consciences. Let me read it to you. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, now there's the prophecy, it says there's coming a day, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now that's a prophecy, see? That's why it says that in the latter times. And may I say to you that we are in those latter times. And may I say to you, we are seeing prophecy fulfilled about this very thing. Their conscience seared. They have a callous conscience, a paralyzed conscience, unmovable conscience, a lethargic conscience, a numb conscience, a crippled conscience. Hey, does your sin bother you? You do wrong, but you're not troubled by it. Can you steal God's tithe and as smoothly as it may be? Can you do it and not be disturbed by it? Can you gossip and be negative and still sing the congregational songs with a smile on your face? Did you know something? Your sin's supposed to bother you. Your sin's supposed to bother you. But we live in a day where it seems that the conscience is seared. People are dying and going to hell. Does that trouble you? Does it trouble you that you never tell anyone about Jesus Christ? Do you feel bad if you don't show up for soul winning on Tuesday or Thursday or Saturday? Are you up to date on your faith promise that's going to keep people out of hell around the world? Or does that not bother you? Because we live in a day that was prophesied. God said there's coming a day when people's consciences will not bother them anymore. I say to you, there is prophecy that is on the horizon for us. Indeed, the mark of the beast. Indeed, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Indeed, the day that the Antichrist and the false prophet will be put down. Hey, but if you want some real excitement, let me tell you something. We are living in prophetic days today. October 2007, we are living in the fulfillment of prophecy. If you don't believe me, look at all the demonology on the television. Look at all the drugs all over our society. Look at how people reject sound, hard preaching on the old time ways. You look at how people's consciences don't bother them anymore. Number five, the Bible says that a prophecy is in the latter times there will be a great falling away. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 3, the Bible says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Notice there it says, "For that day shall not come except," what is that? That's prophecy. That's prophecy. It is saying there is coming a day in the latter times when there'll be a great falling away. Boy, again, we live in that day of prophecy. Preachers are falling away from preaching on righteousness. Preachers won't name sin anymore. They may get up and say, "Don't do bad, don't do bad, don't do bad." Well, won't you let us in on what bad is, buddy? We're just dumb old sheep. We need a shepherd to tell us the difference between right and wrong. Oh, preachers are falling away from preaching on righteousness, and there's no conviction in their preaching anymore. No Holy Spirit movement like there ought to be. No revival. No fighting sin. You know something, folks? We've got to fight sin. We've got to fight the devil. He's our enemy. Oh, but everybody wants to be kind, and I'm for being kind, but I'm not kind toward the devil. He's my enemy. I want to do damage in regard to the devil's purpose. But the Bible says there'll be a great falling away. A great falling away. Preachers are falling away from preaching on righteousness. Parents are falling away. Parents are falling away from having holy dreams for their children. Parents are falling away from wanting their children to marry virgin and clean and pure. They're not using any sense in the protection of their kids so their kids don't mess up and the devil doesn't deceive them. Oh, parents are falling away in regard to a dream for their child to be married in God's will. Parents are falling away. We've ceased to want godly children. We we're allowing them in the world and do the things of the world. Oh, parents are falling away. Every parent in here, it ought to be your dream and desire that your child never touch alcohol. Never touch it. Never touch it. So you can't keep a bottle of wine in the fridge for you to nip on it and expect your kids to say, "Well, it's bad." Oh, today there's a falling away of parents taking seriously the rearing of their children for the purpose of purity. We ought to have a goal that our kids never get involved in drugs of any sort or never smoke cigarettes of any kind, never learn to cuss and never learn to do wrong and never participate in fornication. We shouldn't want our kids listening to rock and roll. You shouldn't be throwing your hands in the sky and saying, "Oh, well, that's the way kids are." No, that's not the way kids are. Parents, it's going to take some energy on your part. You have the kids. Now you better do something about it. Respect needing to be taught. You see, parents are falling away. They're falling away from their purpose, and they're falling away from helping their kids to be protected from Satan. Listen, some of your kids, the devil's going to lead them astray. He's going to lead them astray. They're weak, and they're not going to take a stand, and they're not going to do what they're supposed to do. Parents, you got to step up. You've got to step up and help out. Hey, the school's not going to be able to do it all. The church is not going to be able to do it all. You'll have to step up. Parents, there's nothing wrong with saying, "No, you're not going there. No, you can't do that. No, we're not going to have that." You say they might be offended. Oh, my. I'll tell you what. I was offended daily at my house growing up. There's a great falling away, the Bible says. There's a falling away of preachers in our day and a falling away of parents in our day. There's a falling away of churches. There are churches that have lost track of what it's really all about. You know, it's really all about keeping people out of hell. Really is. It's really all about the Great Commission. Not only are we supposed to go out and get people saved, but we're getting baptized after they get saved. hey, it's really all about the Great Commission. We're to get them saved and baptized and get them into the church and teach them so they could become a part of the workforce in keeping others out of hell. You see, churches are falling away from their purpose. And listen, I am every bit for having nice facilities. I really do. I thank God I think we have wonderful facilities here. But it's almost as if we're getting all caught up in getting fancy-dancy buildings and we've forgotten about souls of men. Oh, yeah. You know, I church is supposed to be like factories. We're trying to produce souls, and we're trying to get people baptized, and we're trying to change lives. I'm not trying to impress the Catholics with my building. Not at all. Not at all. I want the building to be functional so we can keep people out of hell. Oh, churches are falling away from God's purpose. We've ceased to care for the poor. It's almost as if the poor are not invited in our churches anymore. Well, I've got news for you. As long as I'm going to pastor the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, poor people are going to be invited here. We're going to go to the hollers of West Virginia, and we're going to find dirty little bus kids, and we're going to bring them here. We're going to feed them a hot dog and put shoes on their feet, and we're going to help change their life. You watch. Some sot that's been drunk overnight is going to be laying on the streets down here in Martinsburg. We're going to go by and pick him up and bring him to church on Sunday morning. Oh, and I'm not glad he was drunk, but I tell you something. Somebody's got to tell him about Jesus. Somebody's got to help him. Hey, when you get a church that's to the point that they don't want the poor, they've lost track of what's going on. But God predicted that would happen. God predicted that the church would get too big for its own spiritual britches, that the church would cease to care about the poor. Oh, we don't want to learn the doctrines of the Bible today. We just want to be entertained. Let me tell you something. Churches have lost track. Let me tell you a little bit, a dream of mine, and I think you already know this, but let me tell you, I don't want to just have a nice church. I want to change Martinsburg, West Virginia. I want to change it. I'm not just trying to change the people that will come on this property. I want to change the whole city. I want to change all of Berkeley County. I want to change all the panhandle. I want to change the whole state of West Virginia. I want to change the whole East Coast. I want to change America. Oh, but churches say, boy, I'll get me a little chunk of property, and anybody that will come on my property, we'll try to influence them a little bit. No, we're to go out and change the whole world. We're to change the whole world. Hey, I want to shut down the bars in Martinsburg. I want to shut down the whorehouses and the dance halls and all of that. I want to shut them down. I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference. But churches are off track, see? They're off track. Say, well, you know, if I go off my property, it might be a little offensive to the people out there. You better believe it's going to be a little offensive, because we're taking Jesus out there where the devil runs and wild and crazy. He's doing what he wants, because we almost want to stay on the church property and only influence the church. The people come on the church property. I've got news for you, folks. It's bigger than that. We'll never change our world if they all have to come to us for us to change them. We got to go out there and get them. We ought to want to change this nation. We ought to want to change our state. We ought to want to change the East Coast. Hey, we ought to change it. We ought to change Martinsburg. When I die, they put me in a grave, put me out here in this mausoleum. I hope somebody can stand up and that somebody that preaches my funeral sermon and say, Jeff Owens, change this city. The Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church made an impact on this city. It ought to be that way, but churches are falling away from their purpose. And the Bible said that would happen. America has fallen away from her roots. We used to be one nation under God. And we weren't factoring Allah into that. We've fallen away from our forefathers' purpose. Used to be in God we trust. Not in the government, but in God we trust. The Ten Commandments have been rejected in our public buildings. They are forcing nativity scenes to be removed from all courthouse lawns. They're taking the Bible and prayer, and they have taken Bible and prayer out of our schools. It was the most damaging thing they've done to our country. The sodomites have more rights than soul winners today. But I say to you, there's been a falling away. Falling away by preachers, a falling away by parents, a falling away by churches, the falling away of America. But let me move on. The Bible teaches us there's a prophecy about the latter times. It's extreme materialism. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says this. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. Covetous. Notice, in the last days. That's prophecy. Yes. Covetous. We live in a gimme, 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 gimme society. We seem to never be satisfied. Saving money for a rainy day is almost non-existent today. Sacrificing for God is out of the question. Our lusts are out of hand. We have a passion for things and not for God. We have a lust for money, but not for holiness. We have a hunger for possessions, but not for God's power. We covet on every front. We covet fine foods, fine clothes, fine cars, fine houses, fine jewelry, fine entertainment, fine toys, and fine vacations. I speak to preachers across the country, and most of them say, if you want to raise money for a worthy cause, you can't, because the people are so far in debt they can't even pay their own bills. That's the devil's influence in the latter days. That's the devil's influence in the latter days. He wants us to get us so locked down and having all the fancy things of life. And let me tell you something. I'm for you having nice things. But I'm just telling you, the Bible predicted in the latter days that people would be covetous. You don't have to wait until the mark of the beast 666 in the latter chapters of Revelation to see a little prophecy. Take a look today. Take a look today. Because we are covetous. We are very materialistic in America today. Well, I'll tell you something. How many of you were alive at the time of the Great Depression? Will you raise your hand, please? The Great Depression. I'll tell you something. I wish you could get around and spend a little time talking to these people. Back when if you had a piece of bread, you were thankful. Not that you threw a loaf away every week. Oh my, that's us. Oh, and let me finish with this. Another prophecy that we get to see fulfilled in our day and age, it is the prophecy of persecution upon believers. Persecution upon the believers. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 3, it says this. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? See, there it's talking about prophecy. And it goes on in Matthew 24, verse 9 and 10. He answers the question. He says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. The disciples said to Jesus, Jesus, tell us what's going to be happening right before you come back. And Jesus said, you as Christians will be being afflicted right before I come back. You see, good people being afflicted. Respect for God is virtually gone in this day. If you live godly, folks, you will suffer persecution. Young people, if you go to a public school and you're living right, you will be persecuted in that public school by somebody. By somebody, you will be. I graduated from the public school in 1978, and I can remember my years of high school. I was persecuted in the 70s, and believe me, it is far more godless today than it was in the late 70s. You say, I'm not being persecuted, then you're not living right. I'll promise you, and I'm not saying you're going to go start a war, but I'm going to tell you, if you take a stand and you say, I won't listen to that, I won't do that, I won't go there, I believe the Bible, this is how I believe, you will suffer some type of persecution. We live in a day where people that live right will suffer some sort of affliction. I remember as I worked at a factory and they were having a Christmas beer bash and I would not go. I remember what I had to put up with my fellow employees. Mock me, tease me, threaten me. You will suffer affliction. If you live right, you're going to suffer some affliction. You'll be mocked. You'll be teased. America is more concerned about the rights of the Muslims than they are the Christians. Scared to death that we're going to offend the Muslims. That's the day that we live in. You say, Brother Owens, what do we do? Well, since you and I are living in prophetic times, we do not have to wait to see the prophecies fulfilled from the book of Revelation. We can just look around ourselves right now and we see prophecy being fulfilled. Let's make sure that we do our part to live right in these prophetic days. Let's not support the demonology and all the junk that goes along with it. Don't be a part of this drug-addicted society. Don't reject good Bible preaching. Have a conscience that is healthy toward God. Don't make sure that you don't fall away from the right things, but you get up closer to the right things. Let's be moral and clean. Let's make sure that we're not materialistic. Let's take care of our debt and let's do it right. Hey, and let's not be the ones who persecute good Christians. Let's be the persecuted. Let's be the persecuted. Listen, even in our own Christian school, young people, you live right. And I hate to say it. And I hope it doesn't happen. But there's some of you, if you will live right in your own Christian school, somebody will persecute you for doing it. They'll mock you and they'll tease you. Say, what do I do? Stand up. Stand up for what's right. Say, but Brother Owens, I might be the only one standing. What, just prove what you got some backbone then, doesn't it? I've got a feeling that Jesus stood up when nobody really rallied to help him. He stood up for you. Stand up, young people. Stand up for God. Stand up for right. Stand up for the Bible. Listen, some of you need to learn to just say no. You say, but they might mock me. They might reject me. Get ready. Life gets a little tougher as you go along the way. It really does. It gets a little tougher. You'll have to say no and stand up other times in life as well. Well, the topic, prophecies that are practical. I like looking forward to all those prophecies, but I tell you what really excites me about prophecy. It's when I can see it, be a part of it right now. And we are a part of prophetic days according to the Bible. Because in the latter times, perilous times shall come. I don't know how long it is until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. I hope it's tonight. I hope it's tonight. I wouldn't have to make my house payment. But I'll tell you something. It may be weeks, it may be months, it may be years, but it could be today. And what if it were today? Oh, let's make sure that we live right. He may come back tonight. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this evening and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we want to invite you to the Savior. In a moment, we'll have what we call an altar call. In a moment, the pianist will begin to play. The choir will begin to sing. We'll all stand to our feet. The men sitting on this platform will stand on the lower level. They will be there to receive you. And if you're not saved, leave your seat, walk down an aisle, walk up to one of the men and say, I want to be born again. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you've been saved and never baptized, why don't you present yourself for baptism and we'll baptize you. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion after your salvation and you would like to join this old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James Bible, separated, hell-fighting, heaven-loving Baptist church, then you could come. But don't come under false pretenses. We are what we are. Maybe you just backslid and you need to get close to the Lord. Maybe it is. You just need to say, you know, maybe you want to come down here and pray. Maybe you've got a burden or a heartache, whatever the case may be. Maybe you're a parent. You've lost track of what it's all about. You're not to be an entertainer as a parent. You're to be a parent. You're to hold the line. You're to help your kids do right. You need to stop accepting less than best if you love them. Maybe you're a preacher. Maybe you've backed off. Maybe you need the altar. I'll ask the instrumentalists to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes.